Welcome to Change Surfer Radio. I'm Dr. J, and I'll be your guide to a sexy high-tech vision of a radically democratic future. Speaking today with Theo Theodorus Ibrahim in London. Theo is a former Green Party activist who defected from green ranks to become a progressive pro-technology activist. He founded is co-founder of Community Technology, which is a nonprofit organization in London, which works with community organizations to promote pro-technology and progressive values. Welcome, Theo.
Hi, James.
So, Theo, how did you exactly start Community Technology?
Well, I began, well, as you said, in the Green Party. I moved, you said defected, I'd say it was more of an amicable divorce from the Green Party into the organization I'm in now. And yeah, if you're asking how it started, then it was, the story is that I met Alan, who's the co-founder. We were doing, I don't know if you have squat cafes in the States, but we do that. We have them here. We took over a building. Well, other people took over a building, and we used to hang out in there. And I met him upstairs in one of the rooms. He was repairing a computer, and we got talking about technology and progressive politics, and we found we had a lot in common. We also knew there wasn't that much interest in that kind of area of things, and we decided that, yeah, it would be a good thing to do. We started out recycling computers and making them available for local voluntary groups and activists in the local area, and that's where it started from.
Now, you're receiving funding from the London Council, as I understand it?
We get money from some local trust funds, mm-hmm. Some money from contracts that we carry out, sort of commercial work, in fact. Mostly we raise it ourselves or get it as donations from individuals. So no major support, some support from local organizations that give money to organizations.
So you're doing a lot with computers. You've started IT for All and ComTech Computers. What do those two operations do?
IT for All is again, there's a formal, official side to it, and that's the giving people access to technology and computing technology and access to the internet. But Alan has often described it as networking Gaia, or treating the Earth as some kind of motherboard and connecting people together. So it has that sort of slightly less more sort of spiritual side to it. And ComTech Computers is the commercial side of what we do. We have to, of course, raise money. So there we just use recycled computers. Of course, that has a good environmental side to it as well, in the sense that a lot of computers here are dumped. Large organizations dump them. So we take them, refurbish them, and then sell them at a very affordable price to local people on low incomes. So the focus of those two projects is different, but they both deal with computers.
That would seem to be a very new labor kind of thing to do. Are most of the folks in your operation labor oriented, green, progressive, non affiliated, or?
Very good question. We're all green and we're all new labor, left wing. Uh-huh. I think that's accurate.
Yeah.
So it's quite unusual. We're always on the lookout for people with the same kind of interest in pro technology and supportive of radical democracy and politics. And there's not a lot of us out there. So mostly in this organization, we are. Yeah,
I would imagine the trades unions would have similar kinds of branches, though, trying to train people involved in the trades unions in computers and various kinds of technology issues.
They do. That's quite correct. A lot of people do look at it at a very sort of what we find is superficial level. They're not aware of the implications of the technology. We think and talk all the time about what the situation is going to be in 10, 20, or 30 years' time, and we can see how we're going to be. We're going to get there with what we have at the moment. So the trade unions, etc., they're obviously very concerned about teaching people how to use computers to improve their employment prospects, and we do kind of work with them in that direction. Of course, it's very important. People do need to earn a living, but at the same time, we also know. I don't know if your listeners have heard of something called the spike, etc. The very radical things which using computer technology could bring about. And what we're especially concerned with is, of course, making sure that the community, ordinary people, know about that and have control over such an event.
I interviewed Damian Broderick about the spike just a short while ago.
Uh-huh.
And so you're actually talking to ordinary folks about the singularity that to come.
We'd like them to know about it, because if they're not involved, a very small elite group in society will be controlling such, or at least aware of and able to direct the course of such an event. And we don't think that's right. It should be much more democratic and widely known.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's wonderful. You also are doing a media monitoring and research unit. What's that involve?
That's right. We have a lot of people, local young people, who don't have work, and one of the things we're doing is providing them with the opportunity to gain skills in media and information technology, working with computers. So they come here, they assist us in the media monitoring unit, which is important for us, because we use it to support a number of our projects. What it does is monitors broadcast media, websites, newspapers, and picks out information of relevance to us, so that we can either respond to it or make use of it in other ways. And what they gain from that is being exposed to these ideas. They go back into the community. They pick up works. They pick up work skills, and they learn about IT and the kinds of things that they couldn't do except by maybe going to college for a long time. And most of them can't afford to do that, or by paying for courses. And most of them can't afford to do that. So it's a sort of symbiosis. They benefit and we benefit.
You have a website. Can you give us that website address?
The address of our website is www.communitytechnology.org.uk, but that currently only describes one of our projects. So it's going to be soon revamped to describe all our projects, but people can go there, and all our contact details are there as well. And one thing I have to mention is that there'll be people should go there, but we're very keen on for people in the States to know about us, because we'd be happy to have people from the States to come over and help us in our projects. In some ways, a lot more is going on in the States in this area that we're interested in here in the UK. So it'd be good to establish those links.
Well, it seems like the things that you're doing, there must be dozens of organizations in the States that have similar objectives that we should be networking across.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, you have some transhumanist goals for the organization as well. And in a second, we'll be bringing on Garrett Smith and Sue Hopkins to talk about cryonics and the transhumanist scene there in England. But I understand that community technology folks in general are sympathetic with transhumanist goals, and you want to start talking and educating folks about stem cells and age reversal and nanomedicine and body modification. So what do you envision as a goal? I mean, that's the most radical thing for a nonprofit that I can imagine, to start working on these topics that generally only big pharmaceutical companies or research universities are working on.
Absolutely. Currently the most effective thing we can do is make the field less scary for people, less divorced from what they consider currently to be the most important things happening in their lives, because this is of great importance to them. They may not think so at the moment, but it obviously is. So the way we would focus on developing that is, as I said, making them familiar with the ideas, but also generating funds to support specific researchers, and possibly lobbying legislators to remove the restrictive legislation stopping these things from being developed.
In Europe, they do have a system of, in various countries, of community-funded science projects where, for instance, for environmental goals, different kinds of government funds will be put together to support community-based researchers to research environmental projects in the various communities. So it seems like you might be tapping into a whole network of things that are happening there of kind of community-based science.
Yes, I mean... There is that kind of activity, but again, mostly the kind of science that is encouraged is, you know, it's fairly old school, it's fairly sort of 20th century, and we're clearly in the 21st. So yes, we would get involved in that, but we're always up against people's sort of old fashioned attitudes about these things. So if we were going to be involved, we would want to take things, move things on a little bit. A lot of these sort of science projects are, and you know, community science things are basically not very interesting. There could be a lot more relevant.
Yeah.
But you're right. That's something we should push along.
I'm speaking with Theo Theodorus Ibrahim. He's the co-founder of Community Technology, which is a nonprofit organization in London that is both progressive and pro-technology. Theo, why don't we bring on Garrett and Sue for a discussion about transhumanism in general in England?
Okay. Garrett's on his way now.
Okay. I'm speaking now with Sue Hopkins and Garrett Smith. They are active in community technology and also in Alcor, UK, in the cryonics operation there in England. I understand that the two of you are some of the first members of the cryonics movement there in the UK.
I was about first equal.
Uh-huh.
And,
a bit more recent.
More recent member? And how many folks are involved now, would you say, in cryonics in the UK?
Well, about, this sounds like a small number, if fully signed up, about 20.
Mm-hmm. So it's enormously difficult because you don't have the technical infrastructure there. Are folks imagining that they would get support from Alcor in the States and be preserved in the States?
The initial process would start here, and then you would be flown out at about, at a sort of a halfway temperature, about minus 80, roughly speaking, centigrade, which is really quite warm for us.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be flown out to Arizona.
Uh-huh. 80 centigrade. So you said
minus 80. Minus 78, to be precise.
Right. Have you been discussing vitrification over there as well as the you have?
Yes, we're enthusiastic to get that, actually. So uh-huh. It is a bit of a step forward.
Uh-huh.
It could be the Holy Grail, but we have our fingers crossed. New scientific procedures, you know, you're never quite sure they're going to pan out until you've actually got them working.
Right.
Yes, we are enthusiastic, and we are hoping to be sent over the stuff
mm-hmm.
by the new president. There's a new sort of dynamic outward-bound president of Alcor in Arizona, and he wants to get the rest of the world involved as well.
I think just the fact of receiving the equipment and people knowing that we had the ability for vitrification would generate a lot of interest just in itself.
It would certainly answer some of the technical challenges that people seem to dismiss cryonics with.
It does. Not having ice crystals.
Mm-hmm. Destroying brain tissue.
The principle of it is, of course, you're cooling someone right down to cryogenic temperatures without creating any ice.
Mm-hmm.
And that not the ice crystals are a definite menace mm-hmm. when you're cooling someone down.
Mm-hmm.
And not having them could be just what we've been waiting for all these years.
Well, I understand that there's going to be a big powwow of all the cryonics organizations here in the States shortly. So partly around this life raft building that's being built. So there should be a much more attention paid to cryonics shortly, I imagine. Well, that's very good news that Alcor is spreading over there. And there's a more general transhumanist scene in England, folks interested in all of these different singularitarian ideas and technologies. Can you talk a little bit about that? What are some of the organizations, ideas, people involved in that?
Well, actually, one of the unfortunate things, as it were, from a geographical point of view, was that the WTA, having been founded by Nick Bostrom, who used to live actually not very far from where we are now in London, moved over to the States.
Sorry about that.
Which is a shame to have our founder run away like that. But then
brain drain. We suck him up.
So, I'm sorry?
It's the brain drain. We just suck them up.
I know. Right the way back from the Mayflower onwards, that's been happening. But he was a key player. But one of his co-founders, Dave Pearce, is still happily ensconced in the same place. And I think Theo is actually a bit of a mover in the
transhumanist. Yeah.
Sphere on the quiet, or well, not on the quiet, actually. I've seen him on the internet, so.
So, would you say that there's a greater or lesser receptivity to transhumanist ideas in England? I know that Max Moore has often commented on the dead weight of history weighing down the Europeans and the Brits, and that America is this wonderful culture of dynamism. But it seems to me quite the reverse, that, for instance, Britain has adopted a more progressive set of public policies towards cloning than the Americans have.
Yes. It's different from one. I'll take an example. There are many things that America is much freer about than Britain. But for example, there is no anti-jaywalking law here. An Englishman, it's an Englishman's right to be run over where he likes on the road. And there are bizarre little differences between freedoms that you have from one country to another that you sort of only notice. Well, I know about the jaywalking law because a friend of mine was arrested for it, and he couldn't believe it because there was no traffic or anything. One of the little freedoms that we have is on therapeutic cloning. In some ways, you get people over here who are terribly anti-technology. I don't know how well America's supposed to be quite good for tree huggers, but you know, Britain must come a pretty close second if we're not out ahead on hugging trees. But
One of the ironies I see is that institutionalized religion between Europe and the United States and Europe.
There isn't an evil alliance between the sort of tree huggers and the sort of religious right. I mean, there isn't really a religious right here.
Well, that's what I was going to say, that although you have institutional churches, the Church of England and various institutional relationships between churches in Europe and the governments, in the United States, we have far more people who go to church, churches,
It always surprises me when I meet someone that does go to church here. Not to say that people don't kind of believe in something in a wishy-washy kind of way.
Yeah.
But, I was saying there's no religious right. There are people who are, would want to do what the Bush administration wants to do, but there just are so few.
Well, is there a political dimension to technology policy there in Europe, in UK in particular? I'm thinking
Greenpeace was started here.
Yeah,
wasn't it? So from that point of view.
Yeah, so you have Greens who are traditional for the most part anti-technology, and then you have your Liberal Democrats and your Labour and your Tories. Are there distinctions between the three big political groupings there in terms of their technology policies?
Mainstream politics, I would think there'd be very little because, frankly, the vote,
There's not much difference between the parties now on many.
There aren't many votes in. I mean, they're not going to hold an election over cloning.
Right. So they don't pay.
It's number one. It's the economy. Number two, it's not. It's number one. It's the economy, and then there's health and education, really, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, are you looking forward to this project of community technology to advance transhumanism? What goals do you foresee for community technology as a transhumanist sympathetic community organization there in London?
Well, I think there's so many different directions. One of the main things is just to highlight in people's minds. A lot of the general public aren't aware of applications of a high tech. For instance, cryonics a lot of people may have heard of it, but they don't really understand that much about it. And I think it's just educating people generally.
I think on the lines of educating people, there's a. We were discussing this earlier. I was saying to the others that there are. I don't know who first came up with this, but there are the four classic stages of a critic to any kind of new idea. The first one being that they refuse to even discuss it because it's such a ridiculous idea, which applies to almost everything in transhumanism. The second stage is where they say, well, it might have something to it, but it won't ever really happen and or be of any practical use. And they will tell you why it won't be. So they will actually unbend themselves to take part in the argument. The first stage is refusing to get into the argument. The second stage, they will tell you why it will never work or never come about. The third stage, then, is they will admit that something might happen, but it will never be of any use or won't change society or anything like that, which clearly so much stuff in transhumanism will. It will just be this huge revolution. But then the fourth stage is critics say, well, I said that would work all along. I told you, it was me that said it, you know, and they try and pinch the whole thing themselves. What will happen, I estimate that in the medium to long term, so between 10 and 30 years from now, there will be a revolution in society, in humankind altogether. We'll just be completely almost a different species. And people will be doing whatever the equivalent of documentaries are. And you know, in Britain, ComTech might get a tiny mention in the documentary because everybody will have jumped on the bandwagon.
Have you read Ken MacLeod's novels? Ken MacLeod, the science fiction, the Scottish science fiction author.
I probably not. What was it called or about?
He's a former Trotskyist. I guess he was with one of the Trotskyist groups there in the UK. And
not organizations I'm familiar with.
Oh, okay. Not part of your background, huh?
No.
He proposed, only half in jest, that there be a kind of space and freedom party there in the UK to bring together all the pro-technology forces from libertarians to...
That sounds a bit Keith Henson-ish.
Keith Henson. Who is that? Keith Henson? Keith Henson.
Keith Henson is he's American. Mm-hmm. He was a key player in the L5 Society point.
Didn't he get in a lot of trouble with the Scientologists?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
and he has invited everyone to the Far Edge Party, where we all have a party at the edge of the universe.
Oh yeah, the heat death of the universe or something. Yeah, that's
yeah.
Well, this is the advantage of transatlantic dialogue. I'll educate you about the Scots, and you educate me about the Americans.
Yes, thank you. isn't technology wonderful?
Right.
We've only had transatlantic phones for just under 100 years.
Well, I look forward to working with you further in the transhumanist movement and as the WTA gets going. And good luck with your work there in the UK. If I could ask you to put Theo back on the line, we have a last word with him.
Okay, he's coming. Right. We'll hang up. Thank you.
Thank you. Nice talking to you.
Bye.
Hello, James.
Hi, Theo.
Alan is going to join us as well, who's the co-founder of ComTech.
Okay, excellent. Yes. And Alan's been working on the empowering of radical groups with IT. Is his bailiwick here?
Hi there.
Alan?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, nice to talk to you. Alan, what's your last name?
Bruchot.
And your bailiwick has been the IT for All and ComTech Computers?
That's right. I'm kind of looking after the general strategy as far as sort of hardware and software and how we go.
Uh-huh. Do you have a background in alternative technology or computer technology? Or?
I was a programmer when I was really young.
Uh-huh.
And I've just been doing I went through the whole different range of things and then got into hardware.
Uh-huh. Well, tell us, what other community organizations are you working with? You say that you are interested in building alliances. Has any of that come to fruition yet?
Well, in actual fact, James, the kinds of organizations that we'd like to work with actually don't really exist here. I mean, we'd obviously want to push the project forward with progressive, radically politically progressive organizations who are in support of technology as well. So right now what we're doing is simply assisting those whose work improves the conditions of the people who live here in the local community. So, for example, we're supporting a mental health charity. We're working with a fair trade organization that are aiming to set up a network of fair trade people through the UK. So, yeah, we're doing as much as we can, but of course...
There's also sort of members of the local community into sort of fringe groups, for instance, the promotion of cannabis as a... towards legalization thereof and drug education, you know, others who are promoting sort of housing rights and various campaigns like that.
That's all quite excellent. And again, just let me say how much I am encouraged to hear about your work, and I'm delighted that you're pursuing it over there. I look forward to working with you further in the future. And I hope that this little documentary that we've done here will contribute to American contacts, and I encourage people to contact you. So again, the website is www.communitytechnology.org.uk, and that'll contact the Community Technology Projects in particular. And then you're going to be putting stuff up at www.c-mu.org for the Media Monitoring Project?
That's correct.
Okay. And an email address for you, Theo?
My personal email or the organization?
Oh, whichever you prefer.
Okay, I'll give you the organization's email. That's info@communitytechnology.org.uk.
Great. Well, again, I look forward to talking to you again, and thanks so much for this.
Thank you very much, James.
Yeah, fantastic, James.
The people's flag is deepest red, it shrouded off the martyr dead. And ere the limbs grew stiff and cold, their heart's blood died in every fold. Then raise the scarlet standard high, beneath its folds we'll live and die. Though cowards flinch and traitors sneer, we'll keep the red flag flying here. When all our heads seem dark as night, it witnessed many a deed and vow. One mustn't change its colour now. Raise the scarlet standard high, beneath its folds we'll live and die. No cowards flinch and traitor sneer, we'll keep the red flag flying here.
You've been listening to Change Surfer Radio. Change Surfer Radio is produced at WHUS Stores at the University of Connecticut. If you want to learn more about democratic transhumanism, or you want to share your thoughts about today's show with me, Dr. J, email me at jhughes, that's J-H-U-G-H-E-S, at changesurfer.com. At the Change Surfer website, you can find past and future shows archived in streaming MP3 thanks to the A-Infos Radio Project. Also, at www.changesurfer.com are instructions on how to order copies of our shows and myriad relevant links. So educate, agitate, and organize. And I hope to meet you in a sexy, high-tech, and yet radically democratic future.
It suits the day the meek and beast. His mind's affixed on pelt and place. To cringe beneath the rich man's frown and haul that sacred emblem down. Raise the scarlet standard high, beneath its folds we'll live and die. Though cowards flinch and traitors sneer, we'll keep the red.